on the line with us right now from the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com, and author of a great new book following the Eagles last year, Underdogs, in stores, online, right now. A friend of the show, Zach Berman, is with us. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, right, man. Now, how can we get Underdogs? It's online, obviously, but how do we get it?
Yeah, either Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you go, and it'll make a great gift for this holiday season.
There you go. And you know what the best thing about Thanksgiving? No gifts. Great thing about Christmas, though, Hanukkah, all that, you got a lot of gifts. So there you go for Underdogs. Zach, great job yesterday during the press conference. I thought it was a little odd that it was a 4th-and-1 situation in the first possession of the game on their own, 24-yard line. And Doug said that was the redo he would take in the game.
Yeah, but you know what? I was surprised at the time that he didn't go for it. Even though it might seem far-fetched to go for a 4th-and-1 at the 24-yard line on the first drive of the game, you're not beating the Saints in a field position game. And you have to, and the Eagles have had so many problems this year. It's been well documented on those opening drives and first quarters. I thought that was a chance for them to really try to get momentum. And if they fail at that play, and Doug Peterson gets up there after the game and says, we were going up against the top scoring offense in the NFL, we weren't going to win with punts, I had confidence in my team getting 1 yard, you could understand that explanation. So when Doug Peterson said that was something he would have done over again, I thought that was a good admission, because I thought it was something that he could have done on Sunday. They also had a 4th-and-4 on their next drive where they punted the ball away from midfield. That's another opportunity to go for it. I was surprised by Doug Peterson's lack of aggressiveness. He talked all week about how they needed points. And when you look at the way the Eagles have played this season, they're winning games in the teens, in the low 20s. The defense is averaging 14.75 points allowed in the 4 wins this year. You weren't going to beat the Saints that way. So it was surprising that Doug tried playing that field position game.
Zach, one of the things I find interesting is that coaches, they never want to blame injuries. They never want to use that excuse. But when you rattled off the guys that were injured at the start of yesterday's press conference, Doug even said, man, that's a long list. And yeah. I know he's not making an excuse, but he definitely wants to highlight the idea, like, hey, guys, we are missing not just our starters, not just our backups, but our backups to the backups. I mean, he's making it well known that they're missing guys.
Yeah, and he made a point later on in the press conference, and it's something you and I have discussed on television as well, is the amount of injuries that are concentrated to specific positions, in particular the secondary. So everyone talked about the resiliency of the Eagles last year, but really they were only going 1 deep, 2 deep on their depth charts. I mean, you lose Carson Wentz, you put in Nick Foles. It's not as if they lost Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, and Nate Sudfeld, and they signed someone off the street. That's what's happening here with the secondary. Shandon Sullivan, Devontae Bosby, Cravon LeBlanc. These guys were not on the team a month ago, or at least not on the active roster. So they're getting to a point at certain positions, even defensive tackle, where they have T.Y. McGill and Trayvon Hester. They're going with players who are so far down the depth chart, and I think that's hurting them, particularly on the defensive side of the ball.
Zach, Carson Wentz's frustration that we've seen, you know, bubbling over for the last few games, totally understandable. But my question is, do you get any inclination? Because I read a couple of stories that people alluded to that maybe his frustration goes directly to the Doug Peterson play calling. Do you have any indication or any inclination of that?
I've talked to Carson about that, and every time he professes confidence in Doug Peterson, I don't think it's that. I think it's more Carson trying to make plays. And it's interesting, if you think back to week 2 going into week 3 when Carson was coming back and Zach Ertz said they don't need Carson Wentz to be Superman, I think Carson Wentz is trying to be Superman out there sometimes. And he's trying to make a lot of plays. He feels like he has to carry this team. I thought the interception and on the 3rd drive of the game was an example of it. So I think the frustration was more the play not working out, not as much the play calling.
Zach, we hope to ask your colleague, Jeff McClain, about this ourselves, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Why does Doug Peterson hate him this year?
I don't think Doug hates Jeff. I think, Yeah, no. Jeff asks questions sometimes that Doug doesn't like, but that's Jeff's job, and he does a really good job at it. So I don't think Doug hates Jeff. I think they both know what's going on.
Speaking of guys that do a hell of a job covering the sport, I mean, you, Jeff McClain, do a phenomenal job, and then on the national scale, there's this fellow Peter King. I don't know if you ever heard of him. but he apparently was behind enemy lines, for our sake, I guess, and he was in a meeting with the Saints. And in this meeting, they disclosed a lot of their game plan, which he wrote about after the fact. And a lot of it had to do with Carson Wentz, but a lot of it also had to do with Sidney Jones. But let's talk about Wentz first and foremost here. What does it say to you when another head coach says, we're going to go after Carson Wentz, or rather, we're going to have Carson Wentz beat us?
It was an interesting admission there. Now, when you look at it, it's fairly obvious that if you have to throw the ball more, it's probably because you're behind in games. Mm-hmm. And the statistics that they cited were a bit skewed because last year the Eagles were so far ahead in games, often running the ball. That's where that balance came from. And that's when Carson got the majority of his wins. That being said, I think that when the Eagles mix it up more, when there's more balance in the offense, when they can get the play action going, they're a much more dangerous offense. They showed that last year. I look at the game on Sunday. Josh Adams' run there seemed to catch the Saints off guard. Just like Peter King wrote, the Saints were going into that trying to get Carson to throw the ball, and the Eagles went right into their hands. And frankly, it's the same strategy that the Eagles try to use with opposing teams, at least during Jim Schwartz's time here, where they want to make you one-dimensional. My opinion is the Eagles are best when Carson Wentz has the ball in his hands and he's throwing. But if they can get a consistent running game, I think that will help complement Carson, and it sets up the play action.
Zach, the Saints defense obviously had a plan, and that was to stop Zach Ertz this weekend. So you think about it, and I was talking to Jason Avant, and he said that the nickel cornerbacks for New Orleans just weren't that good. So you would think it would have been a big day for Golden Tate. Why have they had so much trouble implementing him into this offense?
Yeah, so the first week was a playing time thing. He was barely on the field, 29% of the snaps in that first game. And I asked Doug about it, and Doug said that they really didn't have him ready for their no huddle for their tempo, and they ran a lot of tempo in that game. This game, he played quite a bit. He was their leading receiver, but certainly did not have the impact in the game that I expected when they made that trade. And Nelson Agholor, who can also play in the slot, he was held without a catch.
Yeah.
So I think that comes back to Doug. Doug needs to scheme him up better. And the reality is, when you trade for Golden Tate, this isn't like a 2-3 year trade. This is an 8-week trade. And it doesn't matter if Golden Tate's productive in week 16 if you're out of it by then. They need Golden Tate to be productive right away, and it's on Doug Peterson to scheme him up. So I would hold Doug accountable for that one.
Speaking with Zach Berman, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer, author of the new book, Underdogs in Stores Now, covering last year's Super Bowl championship run by the Eagles. This is, I guess, the $64,000 question when it comes to the Eagles this year, Zach, but it really does seem noticeable. When it comes to no Frank Reich, no John DeFilippo, how much can we really grade Doug Peterson this year when it comes to missing those two assistant coaches?
It's a good question. It's a question that's come up quite a bit this season, and certainly now it's even more pronounced with the way the Eagles are struggling and the Colts are turning it on. I'm not in the camp that's the reason the offense is struggling. Doug Peterson has his finger on the button. He's the one calling the plays. If they lost their play caller, I would look at it differently. I tend to hold the person accountable who has his finger on the button.
So with that being
that's still Doug.
With that being said, though, what are you noticing from Mike Groh? Is there area there for improvement when you look at his responsibilities?
Yeah. So I guess the second part of that is I think Frank Reich was invaluable for Doug in terms of a voice in his ear, and Frank talked often about Saturday night in the team hotel, going over the script with Doug Peterson, and Frank had a lot of cachet there in terms of building the game plan. Mike Groh's a smart guy, a good football coach, but clearly the results this year as offensive coordinator, it hasn't been as productive as a year ago. And so you look at it, and he has a hand in it. He's involved, and that's part of it. It's hard to qualify and it's hard to quantify because he's not making the decisions on the plays, but he is involved in the game plans, and the game plans are yielding an offense that's not scoring right now.
Zach Berman, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer. Thanks so much for coming on with us, buddy. Always good talking football with you.
Thank you. Appreciate having me on.
Absolutely, Zach. Appreciate it.